So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 5th chapter, text number 2 and 3. So first we recite together number 2, and there's no purport to that verse, so I'll read number 3 also in the purport. Tao Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet. Nashtapaye shubadesho nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtike. So you repeat after me. Tao Ragya Prapitam Balam Praladam Naya Kovidam Pathayam Asatu Patyan Anyams Chasuram Balakan. Tauragya Prapitam Balam Praladam Naya Kovidam Pathayam Asatu Patyan Anyams Chasura Balakan. Tauragya Prapitam Balam Praladam Naya Kovidam Pathayam Asatu Patyan Anyams Chasura Balakan. Tauragya Prapitam Balam Praladam Naya Kovidam Pathayam Asatu Patyan Anyams Chasura Balakan. Tao, those two, Sanda and Amarka, Ragya, by the king, Prapitam, sent, Balam, the boy, Praladam, named Pralad, Nayakovidam, who was aware of moral principles, Patayam Asatu, instructed, Patyan, books of material knowledge, Anyan, other, Cha, also, Asura Balakan, sons of the Asuras. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj was already educated in devotional life, but when his father sent him to those two sons of Shukracharya to be educated, they accepted him at their school, along with the other sons of the Asuras. Text number 3. Yatatra guruna proktam shushruve anupapatha cha nasadu manasa mene sapara sargra ashrayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Asya Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers, But he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone also an enemy. And thus, he did not like it. Purport. Politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy. And the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinction between enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. A devotee sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamya vamso jiva bhuta. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj was obliged to hear the instruction of Sanda and Amarka, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Chakshura Namilitam Yanam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Bandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padagamanam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Govigaganta Radha Kanta Namastade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshare Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Banchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So here in this chapter Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, is being described. And so Narada Muni is actually speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So about the wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. So here it is explained that Prahlad, he was actually very fortunate and he was already educated in devotional life, as we know by Narada Muni himself. So his mother, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, So she was very fortunate that she was able to stay at the ashram of Narada Muni, who saved her. As Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, the demigods, they saw that she was pregnant and they wanted to take her and then kill the child in the womb, actually. So of course the demons, they are always envious of the devotees and they are ready to do all sinful activities. They're against the Supreme Lord and they're against the devotees. But the demigods, they're supposed to be abiding by the desires of the Lord and serve the Lord and take care of the devotees. But sometimes even the demigods, they become bewildered by the external energy and they become sometimes envious, and sometimes they perform activities which are not to be done by devotees of the Lord. So Sisi Goni Tai Ki, Sisi Krishna Bararam Ki, Sisi Radha Shama Sundar Ki. So therefore we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that even the great demigods, they sometimes, they even want to kill somebody else who is innocent. Like Prahlad Maharaj, because they thought he's a demon there in the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife, so he should be killed before he appears in this world. So from one point of view, they wanted to destroy the root cause of maybe some future problem, but they had they were not knowing that this child in the womb is a great devotee of the Lord. So therefore Narada Muni, by the will of the Lord, he intervened and he protected Prahlad's mother and Prahlad and brought them to his ashram. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was hearing from Narada Muni even while he was in the womb. So what to speak when he appeared also then. So he was trained by Narada Muni, one of the greatest devotees of the Lord, pure devotee of the Lord. So therefore it's mentioned that he was already educated in devotional life. And we can see that children, they quickly, they will learn from the parents. They will actually try to imitate the parents. So therefore the children of the devotees are very fortunate. But then just like Prahlad Maharaj, so they have to know also the things of this world. They have to get educated in this material world. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was brought back after some time to the palace, after he was in the ashram of Narada Muni, when Hiranyakashipu came back to the palace. And then Narada Muni brought him back to the palace. So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to give him some training, Prahlad Maharaj, as it is natural. So he was very intelligent. He had his spiritual master Shukracharya, and he wanted to send his son Prahlad Maharaj to the sons of Shukracharya, Tau, Ragya. So the king, Tao means two, he sent the two, Sandandana Marka, to the Gurukul, to the sons of Shukracharya, so that he may learn something. About politics. These two sons, it is mentioned, they accepted him, because Hiranyakashipu, he was the ruler, and of course they didn't know also about Prahlad Maharaj. So they gladly accepted him in the school with the other Chasura Balakan. Together, Cha Asura Balakam, with the other sons of the Asuras, they're all together. So persons of the same feather flock together. So the demigods are together, the devotees are together usually, and then the demons, they are together. And so then it is explained in the next verse, Yattatra guna proktam. So proktam, they were instructed, guruna, by the teachers, by the spiritual masters. So guru, so that means the spiritual master, according to the Shabdakosh, the Sanskrit dictionary. So guru means not just the spiritual master actually, and even there are different kinds of spiritual master, the Diksha Guru, the Shiksha Guru, Vatma Pardashaka Guru, Bhajan Guru, so one who is giving initiation, pure devotee of the Lord, representative of the Lord, who is connecting the disciple, the aspiring devotee, to the Supreme Lord. Of course, everyone by nature has a relationship with Krishna, eternally. But in the beginning, it is in a dormant state. So when the devotee, when the human being is properly being trained or coming in the association of the devotee, is a pure devotee, then by the mercy of the pure devotee, then the spiritual nature is revived. And then, so then the spiritual master is connecting him, so by giving him instructions, and then Krishna will accept him. So the Shiksha Guru is giving instructions, usually Diksha Guru is also giving instructions. But there's one Diksha Guru who is connecting, giving a spiritual name, and then is properly then accepted by the Lord, by the transcendental arrangement, and usually is giving shiksha also, instructions. But there may be different other shiksha gurus instructing spiritual masters who are also empowered to help the conditioned soul, so they may come closer to Krishna, so they may realize Krishna and their nature, spiritual nature, and their relationship with Krishna. And in the beginning, one who is showing the path is accepted as spiritual master also, Vartma Pradarshak. He's showing the path, Pradarshan, Vartma of the path. So, but according to the Shabdakosh, the dictionary, also the elders, they are accepted as Gurujan, even the father and the mother, and those who are elder. But of course it is to be understood that these personalities who are then accepted as Gurujan, they should be well versed in the Vedic literatures. Saguru sapita chapi samata bandhava visha shiksha chetsara smartum harin nama vikevalam. Who is really a guru? Who is a friend? Who is a father? Who is a mother? One who is teaching his dependents about devotional life, as explained also in the Bhagavatam, 7th canto. In the 7th canto, same canto. And it is explained, especially in Kali Yuga, he is really a guru, he is a father and mother who is telling his dependent, the disciples or his children, then they should chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Guru also means heavy. So the spiritual master, he has knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And with that, so he can destroy the anattas of the disciple. It is just like a sword, it can cut the illusion. So there's guru and lagu. Guru means heavy, and lagu means light. Of course, here in this connection, Guruna, the teachers, so they had material knowledge. So from that point of view, they may also be accepted as Guru. Therefore, it's mentioned here, Guruna, so in plural, the teachers, they were instructing. And so as Krishna is explaining Bhagavad Gita, two kinds of knowledge. So he told Arjuna, I have given you these two kinds of knowledge, phenomenal and nominal. So actually spiritual knowledge and even sometimes the material knowledge that is, it is useful many times and mostly, Just like going to school, all the children, they have to go to school. Even devotee children, it is required. They learn something about this world. Most important is to learn about the spiritual world, but while we are living in this world, we have to know about this material world too. So therefore, the children are sent to school. Of course, preferably to the Gurukul, that is quite ideal. The system is ideal and the teachers are qualified. The head is qualified, Gurukul, the house or the school of the spiritual master. So, but then the representatives are there with the spiritual master, the teachers. Just like Shukracharya, he was the acharya. But then his sons, they were also acting as teachers, as Gurujan. So, but preferably they should be exalted. So the point is that the children, they have to be educated in spiritual life, but at the same time also in material life. So they have to learn the ABC, and then they have to learn counting, and they have to learn geometry, some history, as Prabhupada has explained, as he wanted to establish Gurukul. So the primary education is the spiritual education, but then some material education has to be there, must be there, so that one can live in this world. And because not everyone is then able to remain brahmachari and be fully dedicated to the spiritual master and engage in spiritual activities, but actually the majority, they will enter the grihastha ashram, household life, and that means then living in this world. So therefore, one has to learn also about this material world, the material science. And as explained here, so about this philosophical, the political philosophy. So one has to learn then about the politics also in this world. So different branches of knowledge are there. And so the children are sent to school to learn all these things. So that is required. And so Prahlad Maharaj, as explained here, so he was educated in spiritual life, in devotional life, and he was relishing that. Because the spiritual science is relishable right from the beginning. As soon as somebody is taking up devotional service, he will get some transcendental bliss, some transcendental realization. And that is ever increasing. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. It is ever increasing. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj, he was taking pleasure in that, in devotional life. And he understood that is the real life. But then he was sent to school. And then these two teachers, Sandana Marka, they were telling him about politics, economics, and he did not like it. And generally you can see children, they don't like to go to school. When they are small, they like to play. They get pleasure in that, so they don't want to go to school. Even myself, I remember I had to go to school. I didn't really want to go to school in the beginning. I wanted to play. Even then there's kindergarten there before the school. You learn a little something. And I was thinking, and they're usually the play way. They're playing also there. And I was thinking, why they're sending me to this school? And there they're playing, but I can just play like this. Why I have to go to this school? And then, but then after I understood that it is necessary, and I went to school, and I learned so many things and became something educated. And then, but actually I didn't like it so much. But still, I had to go and I learned something. I could understand that, okay, it is useful. But still I like to play, as all the children, even when they are a little older. And then, you know, in India they play cricket. In the West you play football. So I was going to school, but then I was just waiting for the time when I can get off the school and quickly finish my homework. And I was good in studies, so I even usually finished my homework in the school. They had more time to play. I didn't play cricket, I was playing football. So, and I like to do that. And then, but then I was also interested in spiritual life. Why am I here in this world? What will happen at the time of death? So I was reading books about philosophy, different philosophies. So, and I'm finding more interest in that than in the, even then I was, Switzerland is famous for different things like banks, maybe like a little infamous now, because all the Indians are keeping the black money there and they want to control now. So, yes, I was working in a bank, but also I didn't like to work there in the bank, but I had to do something. My father told me, you have to work, do something. I understood I had to do something. And so I was doing that. But still, I like to do some other things more. I read spiritual books and play soccer. So that I like more. And so even the boys here in the school, I mean, Prahlad, he liked devotional activities and devotional plays are there. And so, and then he was telling his companions, that his friends, that okay, we play something, but we should not just play. But we should know what is the purpose of life. And so then he was telling them about devotional life, and as we know, then they all became devotees. To some extent. So just by the influence of Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee. And so he was influential, because he knew what to do and what not to do. So association is very important. So we have to have proper association. But he had to go to school, and he was going to school, although he didn't like all these things. As explained here, especially in politics, and Prabhupada is explaining the purport, then there are friends and enemies. And you can see that it is happening in material life, and amongst the children also, they quickly have groups. And there are some friends there, and then some others, and they are not so friendly with them. And they have different groups. It is natural in this material world, even amongst the adults. And it is by nature also, different persons have different natures. And again, the people of same nature, they will come together. It is natural. We can see even amongst the devotees, that some devotees, they get together well, and then they have some reservations against others, because they may have a different nature. So it is quite natural. But an important point is that we have to understand that we have to go beyond this philosophy of friend and enemy, and see everyone equally. So that is important also for the devotees. And so to understand that, and to come to the transcendental platform and see everyone equally, even if sometimes somebody is not agreeing with us. But then we should not make this thing that person is my enemy. I don't speak to him. Many times you can see devotees, they have some different of opinion, and then they don't talk to each other. Even we have seen here, Brahmachari Ashram, I know. Even though amongst the pujaris sometimes they have some differences, and then they stay even together in the same room, and they don't talk together. Because this person said something I didn't like. And then they just become so much closed up, and no. And on the material platform, actually. But we have to become mature. And raise, and of course, even sometimes, in the management it happens, or even sometimes amongst the GBCs. Now a little less, because after 50 years, as a whole, the society has become more mature. Like if somebody is 50 years old, he has become mature. If he is a little intelligent, if he is devoted. So even as society, we can see, and the leaders, they have become very mature. And I remember the beginning, the GBC meetings, which are the leaders of our society, at the meetings in Mayapur, they were fighting with each other. Very much, with words, sometimes almost physical, but they could check themselves. But they were having big differences, and in words. But after sometimes they realize we are the leaders of a society, spiritual society, and we should be transcendentally situated, and not and go beyond this platform of friend and enemy. So they understood finally that we have to have peaceful meetings, and now every year usually they have peaceful meetings. Now we don't hear that they are fighting the GBCs. So they have to become mature. As a society, we have become mature, and the leaders. And so individually also we should see that we can become mature. We should see that we become mature in our understanding. And in then, especially not only the understanding, but in the practical application, in the practical life. So we have to be mature in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our dealing with others. So that is a devotee. So therefore Prabhupada is saying that a devotee treats friends and enemies equally. So then he's saying by trying to educate both in Krishna consciousness. So a mature devotee, so he's equally disposed towards everyone. He sees everyone. Prabhupada is also mentioning about Bhagavad Gita. Mama evam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. He's seeing everyone as part and parcel. And as we know also, he will see as explained also in the Bhagavad Gita in the fifth chapter, that he sees with equal vision a brahmana, a cow, a dog, and a dog eater. So equally, because he doesn't just see the body, he sees the soul. So we have to try to see the soul in every devotee, in every human being, in every living being, even in the animal body. So, but first we should start, you know, amongst ourselves, that we have to come to this level, and then we should see everyone on this spiritual level. And go beyond the this bodily platform, and go beyond the institution, so and see the soul. Everyone is eternal servant of Krishna. So mature devotee, so we'll try to help others. Even those who are from their point of view, they have different of opinions, but he will not take it seriously. And he will recognize he has a different opinion, let him have a different opinion. And he won't have ill feelings. So also amongst the non-devotees, he will recognize those who are innocent, and he will try to help them. And even if somebody is inimical, atheistic, against the devotees, so he will of course avoid them, and he will not make friendship with them, but he will not have any ill feelings towards them. He will be tatashta. So even amongst the devotees, sometimes it may happen somebody has some different opinions, and they will say something against us, or sometimes against our spiritual master, or some other devotees. We may not like it, so we may keep distance, but we should still try to remain respectful. So then we should be actually tatastha. We should be in between. If somebody is not behaving properly, we're not making friendship. We're not having love, so much love for them. It is natural if somebody is against us. But we should not be against them either. We should be tatastha. Let it be. He may be against me, but I will not be against him. But also I will not be favorable towards him. It is natural. But then I should be tatastha, not against and not for him. So that is a devotee who is mature, he's equipoised. And then he's able to deal properly. So he's thinking properly, speaking properly, he's dealing properly all the time. So he sees things as they are. So actually in the next purport, I was just reading also, tomorrow's Prabhupada is very nicely explained about the devotee. So he knows Krishna and he has love for Krishna. So basically speaking, therefore he knows everything. He sees things as they are. And therefore he loves everyone. But at the same time, for practical reasons, then we have to act according to time, place and circumstances. So, even for example, the wild animals are there. So the tiger and the lions. So he has love for them also. But he won't go, of course here they are not going around, but in some places they may be there, but he won't go and embrace like in the zoo. we can see that some crazy people, I just heard there was one drunken people, he wanted to commit suicide. So in Hyderabad he just came out, and he was going to the zoo. And he thought, well, you know, let me just go there where the lions are. He jumped into the place where the lions are. And he was thinking, okay. And he was drunk and he was not able to think properly. And he wanted to give up his life. And he thought, well, I can just go there and then they will just eat me up. No problem. So, but of course that is foolishness. But then he was there. And then the lions were there and they were ready to attack him and to eat him up. So the point is the spirit soul is there in the lion body, but we're not going near to the lion. That would be foolishness. Going in the zoo and going, okay, he's my brother too, the lion, let me embrace him. Then Hari Bol, he will say thank you very much and then he will have his good meal. So, in his own thinking and speaking. So when we see prasadam, then our senses are, wow, nice prasad, rasgulla. Then the senses are going there and the mouth is becoming wet and the tongue is there, desiring to take the rasgulla. And then we relish that. When the lion is seeing anybody just usually wandering around, so that is his meal. And then the senses are attracted and he will go and try to eat that living being. So somehow the people, they save him from the zoo. So we have to use our intelligence and act according to time, place and circumstances. But we should always try to be in the association of the devotees who are more advanced and make friendship with those who are svajatya bhakta, who have the same mood as we have, who are sincere, who are simply interested in becoming perfect in spiritual life. So even that different kinds of devotees are there. So first class, second class and third class. So we have to try to associate with the first class devotees and take their guidance and serve them so we get their blessing so we can advance. And we make friendship with those who are on an equal level. And so we should try, Prabhupada used to say, try to become madhyamadhikari. So try to give up this newfied condition, trying to see enemy, he's my friend, he's my enemy, even amongst the devotees. And try to control the mind and the senses. And try to be positive and try to be always sarvabhuta hiterataha. So that is a devotee is always engaged for the welfare of others. He doesn't just think of himself. No. He's trying to help others. He's trying to serve Guru and Gauranga and Krishna. And then he's trying to help others. That is a madhyama. He's trying to help the other devotees who are struggling. Is trying to help the non-devotees, especially those who are non-envious. So we should try to come to this platform, at least madhyam, and give up this newfied mentality, and just to find fault with others, and to bring others down, and just to think of ourselves. I and mine, aham mameti. I, my guru, is the best, I am the best. and not caring about others. So we should give up this this newfight mentality and try to come to the intermediate state. So of course we cannot suddenly come from the lowest stage to the highest, even from the Kanishta to the Madhyam. So not everyone is actually the same. We can even divide that, as we can see from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining about the Uttam Vaishnav. So even there is a gradation is there. So there's Muchikasai is there, and the so those who have still some little contamination is there, very little, even on the highest stage of Uttam Bhakti. So it may be there. So and then even further is Nidu Kasai, is practically no material contamination is there. But still is not completely perfect. But then the highest Uttam, the Uttam Uttam, is Bhagavat Siddhideha Prapt. One who has realized his Siddhideha, his spiritual nature, who has realized Krishna Surup and his Surup and his relationship with Krishna, practically speaking. So that is the highest level. On the first level of Uttam, he may have realization of his Surup, but still some little contamination is there. So similarly we may see the Madhyam Adhikari is there, so we'll be beginning stage, Kanishta Madhyam, the Madhyam Madhyam, Uttam Madhyam. So we have to become qualified, then we can come to a higher level, to a higher level. And so Kanishta also, this is the very new fight, and one who is little more, and one who is then more advanced, and who is just about to come to the intermediate platform. So we should try to see that we can elevate ourselves from where we are to a higher platform, to a higher platform, so that ultimately we can come to the highest platform. So this here, this mentality, as explained here, and that is the nature of a devotee like Prahlad. Of course, he's a pure devotee on the highest level. So, but we should try to imbibe this same consciousness of the pure devotees. So here one, of course, he has so many qualities. As we know, his tolerance is extraordinary. He was most tolerant. Even though he was mistreated, he didn't do anything against that. He was simply tolerant. And he's known also for his smaranam, always remembering Krishna, despite all difficulties. So we should learn from Prahlad Maharaj all these things. Although from one point of view, he's not maybe a Braj Bhakta, is a Vaikuntha Bhakta, but we can learn so much. First we have to become good devotee. First we have to become gentleman, Prabhupada used to say. First you become a gentleman, and then you become a devotee. A gentle person we should become first. And then we can really become a devotee. So that we should understand. So we become a gentleman first, a nice person. Then we can really become a devotee. And then we can come to the higher level, higher and higher level. So Prabhupada has told these things. So we should try to come to that platform of Madhyam Adhikari, become a perfect gentleman. So that is a devotee, is a perfect gentleman. So he's equiposed, he's humble, he's tolerant, he's respectful. Equiposed, samadarshinaha, has equal vision. And he's always serving the Lord, remembering the Lord. With the body, mind and words, he's trying to be absorbed in serving Krishna. So from Prahlad Maharaj we can learn that. So all these qualities were there in this person. So we should try to become just like Prahlad Maharaj. And then we can see, so he was in his, he was a good brahmachari. And then as we know, so he entered the Grihastha ashram. He was a householder. But first we need a good training. Then you can, if you're a good brahmachari, you can be a good householder. And if you're a good householder, you can advance nicely. And then you can renounce ultimately the household ashram and you can be fully dedicated to Krishna. Or even while being in the household ashram, especially if we engage in brahminical activities, then you can be fully absorbed in Krishna seva also. That is a brahmana, he may be grihastha, but he's fully absorbed with body, mind and words in the devotional service of the Lord. So Prahlada Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, so we should try to imbibe his wonderful qualities and become a good devotee, become a gentleman, and then ultimately we should try. So first of all, to become Madhyamadhikari, intermediate state, try to be absorbed in serving Krishna, but then trying to help others, trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. And then we may ultimately come to the highest stage. But it takes time. Hare Krishna, any question? Yes, Gopal, give the microphone, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
One question in regards to tolerance.
Tolerance, yes.
I wasn't quite clear. Is there any point that we draw a line in the sand, and if anyone transgresses that line, we will not accept what they say, and even be willing to resort to violence?
To violence?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it may be there. So that is mentioned also by our acharyas. So in the scriptures also, that first of all, towards ourselves. So we should always be very tolerant. Even if somebody is speaking badly about us, then we should try to tolerate. And we may leave that place, no problem. But for example, if somebody is trying to punch us in the face, then I mean that or even it is mentioned in the scriptures that if somebody wants to kill you, you must defend yourself. And then even if you kill that person, in that sense, if somebody tries to kill you, but then somehow you kill that person in return by just to defend yourself, then actually there's nothing wrong from your part. So I mean, you have to draw a line. If somebody is bothering you all the time, then
my problem is not necessarily bothering you.
Yes, but others.
But if they're making offense,
to what?
Sri Prabhupada always says that we are not the non-violence because look at the battle.
Right.
And if someone is making offense to Guru,
yes, or then
Krishna,
we have to defend. Yes,
Yes. Like Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Yes. Well, that was just the first part I was explaining.
Yes. I can give you one example.
Yes. And there are many examples, I know, but I'm just saying.
This is a personal one.
Yeah.
Prabhupada did. But we had gone to a program, and normally at these programs, we were the only attendants, so we were the draw of the program, and on this particular occasion, we arrived at the program, and there was a pandu stage set up with a vyasasana and six little chokis next to it. So sitting on the vyasasana was some big Mayavadi guru, and next to him were five chokis where his sannyasis were sitting. And then the very last one was empty, which was reserved for Prabhupada. And so when we went on the stage, and I saw that Mayavadi sitting in Vyasasana, I told him, get out of that Vyasasana, that's for Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada told me, okay, it's okay, I will tolerate this. So he went and he sat on this. This Mayavadi began to speak, and we didn't know what he was saying, but he was speaking Mayavadi philosophy, and Prabhupada was becoming noticeably disturbed, and finally he pointed to me and said, chant. And So in the middle of this Mayavadi's lecture, we began chanting, and then all the devotees started chanting, Prabhupada started chanting, everyone in the panel began chanting, and the Mayavadi left, got up and left. And then later, when we were going back, Prabhupada said, he kicked them in their face. So Prabhupada, when it came to the point when people are preaching incorrectly, this is our goal, is to nirvisesha sunyavadi, to destroy these rascals.
That is
otherwise true. It's Ramakrishna philosophy, jatoma tatopati.
That is a nice pastime. Well, but that was just, I tried to explain first the personal thing that we should tolerate as much as possible to ourselves. We should tolerate. But still, even there, there's a limit. If somebody is always bothering you, then you may also try to avoid that person. Or if somebody, even sometimes, there was one time preaching in Jaipur, and then there were some thieves there. And I was walking in the road, it was a little bit secluded. And then they were just going to attack me, and of course, obviously trying to get my belongings. Then of course I defended myself and I cried for help. Of course I chanted Nishingadev, Nishingadev, and they became so afraid. And then people were coming also, but because I said Nishingadev, the Nishingadev came, and then they just left. I mean, just, you know, to me. Not that he personally came, Nishingadev, but because I was saying Nishingadev, Nishingadev, they became afraid. So, but the point is that we have to try to protect ourselves. That is there, that is mentioned in scriptures. But then especially, we have to be more tolerant ourselves, but then especially if somebody is trying to insult the Supreme Lord, or the pure devotees, or any Vaishnav. Then we have to try to protect even common person, especially now there's so much abuse of women. So if we have the power, we should try to protect. If we see that somebody is trying to harm some woman, if we can, we should try to help. That is there, you know. So that is very important, and so then we should not tolerate if some injustice is done to others. Then we should be very strong, like a lion, or try to defend the Supreme Lord and the devotees, even the common man. And we have the power to do that, so that is important. Even the one more point is actually, but we have to see time, place and circumstances. If, for example, somebody is attacking somebody else and they have weapons and you have no weapon, then trying to help the person who is in trouble, then maybe you'll get in trouble too. So then, you know, then you just have to tolerate and see that in this material world that is a dangerous place. And one living entity is food for another one. For example, just the other day I saw a dog, it happens a lot. And he was just catching a mouse and eating the mouse. So we cannot, what we can do? We cannot try to save the mouse and run behind the dog. So we have to use our intelligence also. Similarly also, for example, it is even mentioned, like for example, you cannot instruct somebody who is not under you. I mean, you were ready to punch the person in the face, the Mayavadi, but Prabhupada stopped you. Because actually according to the common law, even according to etiquette, because he may be sannyasi and you're not a sannyasi. Even though he may be Mayavad, you have to respect. So therefore Prabhupada stopped you also. But to just go there and punch him in the face, like you were ready to, or pull him out of Vyasa-san, that was not proper. You know, although from your point of view, yes, the seat is actually for Prabhupada, because he's a pure devotee. But we have to also see the time, place and circumstances. So that is very important. And we cannot just be like this, okay, my guru, and he's a supreme, the greatest devotee, and everybody else is, you know, is below. That may be true. But you have to see time, place and circumstances. And we cannot just, even the common man, we cannot just disturb the common man, even though they may be wrong. Even if a person is smoking, you cannot just, if you don't know the person, you cannot just go to the person and say, hey, smoking is not good, stop this nonsense. No. If you don't know the person, even it is mentioned in the scriptures, if a person is not under you, you are not allowed to instruct the person. So we have to see time, place, and circumstances. So therefore, Prabhupada rightly said, I will tolerate. But at a certain point, then Prabhupada, the pure devotee, is extremely expert in acting according to time, place, and circumstances. And is most humble. So humbly he took the humble position. And he was seated below the sannyasi, who was a Mayavadi. He's humble. And then he was waiting at a certain point, because his Mayavadi, suddenly he was just speaking some nonsense philosophy. Then he told the devotee to chant the holy names. And then everybody was chanting the holy names, and then Krishna is becoming present when the devotees are chanting the holy names, especially Prabhupada was there, and then Krishna was present there. And then he had to leave. He could not stay. So therefore we have to be very careful and act according, of course, according to time, place and circumstances. But in ordinary dealing, it is always better to be humble and tolerate and respectful, and we cannot imitate Prabhupada. And he was telling to this person, that person is a rascal, this person is a rascal. And then sometimes devotees, they also saying, oh, he's a rascal, you're a rascal. But if you're not pure, then maybe sometimes it will not work like it worked with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was directly inspired by Krishna. But if you are not pure, sometimes it is our mind who is telling us something. Or still we have not a pure consciousness, and then sometimes we may do something wrong. So therefore, that is my personal mood. We have to be very careful in our approach, and we cannot just imitate Prabhupada. But your point is well taken, and we have to be strong. And if somebody is there, a Mayavadi is there, if we can try to defeat him, is good. Or if we can try to have some kirtan, it is good. But so that is the point I want to make, that we have to be sometimes careful and how, according to time, place and circumstances, we have to deal. And it is always better to be humble and respectful to others, because we are not empowered like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was empowered. He could call somebody rascal, demon. But we cannot do that. We should not do that. It's better to be polite. Especially if somebody is elder than us. He was elder than most of the other people he was talking to. So as a junior, even if somebody is not a devotee, to tell somebody who's elder than us, you're a rascal, that is an insult. He may be a rascal. But even from ordinary point of view, you have to be careful. They will not be proper. So, but it is a very fine line, and it is sometimes difficult to do the right thing at the right time. But therefore, personally feel it is the better policy to be humble and tolerant and respectful, even if sometimes it may be difficult. You know, even it is mentioned, if somebody is insulting somebody else, you may cut out his tongue. But nowadays you cannot do that. It would be against the law, right? If somebody is insulting another devotee, you cannot just take a knife and cut out his tongue. So you have to see different instructions are there, and you have to always see time, place and circumstances. And we have to pray always to Krishna, so we have the proper intelligence, so we can act properly according to time, place and circumstances, so that we don't do any aparad. Because different kinds of aparad is there. One is towards the Lord, one is towards devotee, and there's even towards the jivas. So therefore it is mentioned we should not speak badly towards anyone as much as possible. We should not even step on an ant, because the jiva is there. So, but different kinds of aparad, one is mental, one is vocal, one is physical. So in every day way we have to be very careful in our dealings, in our thinking, in our speaking and in our acting. So that is that all right? So, but I appreciate your question and your input. Thank you very much. One last one. Yes. Hare Krishna.
There was no question that what is actually the source or that like saw and para, this idea, what is the source of the cultivation of this idea, saw and para, like this friend and enemy?
Uh-huh.
Is that only the duality of hatred and the desire, or there is any other sources that they would like to cultivate this idea of saw and para?
Yeah, well, of course it is, we have to practice, we have to cultivate Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada has explained. So we cultivate Krishna consciousness, but means remembering Krishna. That is most important. And even you will see in tomorrow's very nice purport, Prabhupada has explained, so pure devotee knows everything because he knows Krishna. And therefore whatever he is doing is perfect, like Prabhupada. Because he knew Krishna, he had love for Krishna. So whatever he was thinking, whatever he was speaking, whatever he was doing was perfect, 100%. So first of all, we should try to become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious. That is most important. Then everything will fall in place. Then our thinking will be proper. If you are Krishna conscious, our thinking is proper. Then our speaking will be proper. Our vision will be proper. Our hearing will be proper. Our doing, every activity will be proper. So the main point is try to be fully Krishna conscious. Of course, it is not easy. So therefore, we have to cultivate. But at the same time, we have to also know what to do and what not to do. And for example, Niti Shastra. What is the proper behavior? So these things we have to learn also. So therefore, not to see everyone on the equal level, so that we have to cultivate. So that simultaneously we have to do the main thing to always remember Krishna, but at the same time we have to cultivate the other things also. We have to do an endeavor. Like for example, don't eat too much, don't sleep too much. So that we have to see, we have to practice, not to eat too much, not to sleep too much. And then the different activities, the different points that we have to cultivate, to have equal vision all the time. The cultivation is important because we cannot become Krishna consciousness immediately. It is not possible. Even you want to, but it is not possible because we are impure. So therefore we have to practice. We have to cultivate Krishna conscious, try to become as much as possible Krishna conscious. But at the same time, we have to do the other things also. Act according to Vana Ashram. Although Vana Ashram is external, but everyone has to be in one ashram and must have an occupation. And then you have to follow the rules and regulations of the various Vanas and Ashram. Act as a Brahmachari. What are the rules of the Brahmachari that you should know? For example, especially in dealing with women, as much as possible. So all these things you have to know, and then you have to try to cultivate. You have to act properly. So similarly with this friend and enemy, so this equal vision, so you have to practice that, you have to cultivate, to have the equal vision, and you will be tested. Somebody will speak something to you you will not like, and then you will be tested. What is your reaction? So first we know, we should try to get the knowledge. But then you have to apply the knowledge also. And then you will get the realization. Otherwise you will not get the realization. So we hear, we should have the samabhav, equal vision, and not make friends and enemies. But then in practical life, you know. You will see, we have to practice. Is that all right? Okay. Karandra Chimad Bhagavatam Ki.